He's the first quarter, which is, but there he is.
Oh, my gosh.
This is, he's already starting to move now. Down the backside, he was five or six behind the last horse. Great ground-saving trip by Jose Ortiz. Sometimes when you're that far back, Mike, that everybody
the Kentucky
makes
Derby.
A decision already, and you're left.
Let me put in a box we want. Now he'll shift him out. Sorry, comes on it. Golden Tempo went from last place to first place, basically on the final stretch. It was probably one of the most amazing sports occurrences I've ever seen. It was absolutely amazing. I hope you were watching along with it, because while there are so many, you know, American traditions that we've either lost or like can't enjoy anymore, you know, like the Super Bowl, like you worry about turning it on for what the commercials are going to be or whatever. It's like you tune into the Kentucky Derby and it's like pomp and ceremony and actual sportsmanship. And I don't know, I guess you can, I don't know, maybe you can rig horse races. I saw some people suggesting that it was rigged just because it was so unbelievable what happened. But it's like, how do you convince a horse to take a loss? I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. I trust the horses more than I trust the athletes normally. But it was really, you get to see some amazing things if you pay attention. And again, it's just, It's like almost sad seeing things like the Kentucky Derby and being like, yeah, this is how things could be. This is how everything could be. Why isn't it? Why is it that I can't turn on the Super Bowl or the World Series and enjoy it with my young kids without like traumatizing them? Because I mean, y'all remember in the Super Bowl, the first commercial that aired was like a horror movie, and it's just like these like horrible images. And it's just like, are they trying to psychologically traumatize us? And the answer is yes, they are. That's the point. That's the point of why they're doing it. Because what I said at the beginning of the show applies to literally everything. And this is what you need to get over. People have this normalcy bias. Normalcy bias usually is invoked to mean like people think that nothing major is ever going to disrupt the world so much that their life is going to be affected. So like even though crazy things happen, you can just proceed as normal. But I think there's another aspect to it, which is the boiling frog, slow incremental change that people can like see and kind of acknowledge sometimes. But I think we don't realize just how bad it's gotten. Like, I don't know, you'll be hanging out with people watching something like the Super Bowl and they're just like, whew, commercials these days, huh? And it's like, that's an inappropriate response. Because slowly but surely, things have gotten worse to the point where they're so crazy now, your reaction should be to, like, freak out. But because the water's been boiled slowly, you just are like, this is just a little bit weirder than it was before. Yeah, things are a little bit weirder this year than they were last year, huh? But take somebody from 20 years ago, and they would, like, have a stroke. They would just be like, what is this? What happened? Is Satan the president? Did you guys elect Satan? Because clearly, everybody in this society worships Satan. So it's like, bring somebody from 20 years ago without the incremental, you know, getting used to this. And I think you'd see just how horrible just literally absolutely everything is. That's sort of across the board. Sort of across the board in all of this. And by the way, not to say we told you so, but like it really is astonishing how much farther ahead we are than everybody else, because we apply this metric, because we ask, okay, who's doing this and for what? Things don't just happen. Why are they doing this? Why are they choosing to do this? You know, Hollywood sports, it's sort of a perfect example, because the answer is not money. A lot of people, socialists especially, left-wingers especially, they try to find out who's making money off something, and that's it. That's the answer. That's the only reason anybody does anything. It's the only thing you're allowed to be against. Got to be against people being greedy for money. But, you know, if you talk about taking over something to lose a ton of money, but in exchange get to brainwash everybody, they have no paradigm for that type of activity. But that's the reality. And if you look at Hollywood, I mean, they have collapsed. They're like totally broke. They cannot make a good movie. They cannot do anything. And because all they've done for the last 10 years or so is make remakes of remakes of remakes, totally creatively bankrupt, and a lot of times making those remakes specifically to like counter signal and discredit the original. by race swapping, gender swapping, message swapping, whatever it may be. Animal Farm is a great example of this. I haven't seen the new movie, but from all the reviews that I've seen and watched on YouTube and everything, it apparently has been totally changed from the original, you know, book. Did they do that to make money? No, it's actually a deeply anti-capitalist story that they're telling, and it's not going to make any money. So, like, okay, I can understand how you'd say, well, you know, demographics have changed. Now the customer base has changed. Now they've changed things to fit the new customer base, but they're changing things in a way that has no customer base, that has no fans, that routinely and repeatedly leads to total abject collapse and failure. So why are they doing it? Because it's not money. They're losing money. They're willing to lose gobs and gobs of money doing the same thing over and over again. Why? Why would they do that? And the answer is because you need total, across the board, full spectrum uniformity, or else people are going to start questioning things. You can't have, you know, a really good movie that is sticks with, you know, American traditional values and has all the genders in the right place and everything, and it does $1 billion. Like, you just can't allow that to happen. So you crush absolutely everything with the diversity requirements, so everything sucks. Nobody's making money, but you prop it up endlessly because that's the point, because you're trying to brainwash everybody, because you're trying to, and succeeding in a lot of ways, present a unified front so that for the average low propensity, low IQ person out there who just wants to go along, who not even consciously but subconsciously just adopts the majority view, just adopts that view and doesn't even understand that there's a countervailing view because it's never been introduced to them because they don't go out and seek it. And this might be a good time to go into the video I have of Nick Fuentes, although it may need to be, do we need to, I don't know if we have a dump button here. Do we have a dump button in here? Because I think he curses in this video. We might need to censor it. All right, let's let her rip. So this is clip number three here. This is Nick Fuentes. I just thought he laid this out brilliantly. And I got to say, when it comes to Nick, I'm like, I watch a clip of his, and at the end of it, I'm just like, yes, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Like, I feel like he and I are very aligned, you know, mentally, like the way we interpret things is very aligned. I think if you watch my shows, you'll have heard me say all of this stuff. But then he just has a way of like putting it in a 5-minute video that includes everything. And for some reason, it takes me an hour to get to the same point. I don't know what it is. So I'm gonna shove this off onto him. I'm going to, you know, tag him in for a minute to explain this. But it's what, you know, is sort of obvious if you pay attention, if you look at it and you look around, and failing upwards is sort of the watchword here. And so I'm talking about with Hollywood, too. You would think, one would think, in a capitalistic society based on meritocracy, that like if you put somebody in charge of, I don't know, the most popular intellectual property in the history of the world, like Star Wars, and they immediately ram it into the ground so hard nobody can even believe it. And like we're still like in, like, it's crazy that they took Star Wars, which was like the biggest intellectual property for decade upon decade upon decade, and in about one decade, it is totally valueless. Nobody cares. Nothing they make is popular, has any resonance in popular culture, unless they do something just utterly, you know, cynical and just like, let's put a really cute baby Yoda so we can sell toys. And that's like the only thing that's popular and the only thing anybody knows. So what happens when you put somebody in charge of something that should be ostensibly a infinite money printing device? You hand over Star Wars to Disney, what that should mean is year upon year upon year of billion-dollar successes. Instead, you get about 5 years of moderate success and then total abject failure. And then that person gets promoted and gets given another intellectual property. And then the directors that ruined the movies get to do even bigger and more important movies. Explain it to me. You explain it to me, because clearly it has nothing to do with performance. It has nothing to do with money. They're losing infinite amounts of money, yet they don't change their activity. Why would they do that? And the answer is because it's a medium for a message. The message is not popular. So the message doesn't make money, but it's just that important that it gets out, according to the people spreading this message. Here's Nick Fuentes breaking it down perfectly. Let's watch.
At one point, one of the most prolific journalists in America at the Washington Examiner. But you want to know why you never heard about him? Because he got fired, he got censored, and then they blotted his name out from the history books. You ever heard of Joseph Sobran? One of the preeminent intellectuals, maybe number two in the country in the 1980s. You never heard about him because he started criticizing Israel. He lost his job at the magazine. They blotted his name out. And the same goes for many others. The same goes for many others over the years. Journalists, media figures, people on radio, people in the newspapers in the 30s, Charles Coughlin. It's happened to many others over the years. And that's just how it goes. So you think about those, you think about how that array, that matrix looks. You look at somebody like Alex Jones, that's like just to me the perfect comparison. Alex Jones is endlessly parodied, imitated, emulated. Everybody does an impression of him. Everybody thinks he's hilarious. He is an American original, American icon of broadcasting, a true original. Like, you can't say enough about him like that. And he's being crushed under the thumb of this system. Nobody's going to help him out. He's going to start Alex Jones Network. Barry Weiss is this, like, pretentious lesbian. She's just as dumb as they come. So unlikable. So stupid, and she's running CBS News. That's your Jewish meritocracy that they want to. Why are Jews running the media? Because they were the middlemen in the Middle Ages, right? Because the Catholic Church outlawed usury. Right, they're going to say something like that, right? You say, why is Barry Weiss running the media? And the Jews are going to say, it's because we're smarter. We're smarter than you, Goy. It's because they're just so much smarter. It's because the stupid mud farmers in the Middle Ages banned the Gentiles from collecting interest. And that's why 900 years later, Barry Weiss is running CBS, right? Isn't that what they say? It's that Ashkenazi IQ. Even though she's an idiot, even though she's running CBS into the ground, even though the free press was a joke, she gets $150 million from her Jewish sugar daddy. And it's one thing after another for her like that. From the Shalem Center to Brett Stevens being her mentor to the seed funding from Lonsdale at the Free Press and University of Austin right through to now CBS News falling upward. And not one stop along the way did she need to have an original thought, a personality, an audience, business sense, anything. Versus someone like Alex Jones, someone like Candace Owens. It could not be more clear. You know, same thing with Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro's a punk. Who likes this guy's a piece of shit. He's a smarmy, arrogant cocksucker, this guy. Everybody knows that. Know it all, above it all. Everybody, to him, everybody, you're an idiot. You're a moral idiot. Wagging his finger in our face, we need to support Israel more versus someone like Alex Jones. That's your society. That's the system. So people need to understand this is the game that is being played, and like that, and the media is everything. That is what is conditioning the masses. That is what is populating the timeline on TikTok, on Twitter. People think they see the news. What they see is the news through the media. It's a medium of information. That's what media is. Media is the plural of medium. It is the medium. It is the go-between. How do we understand and perceive the world? Through the media. It's an illusion. You understand? They're the script writers, the music makers. They control what we see, what we hear, what we therefore then think about reality. That is how they control reality. That's why they can't let people play their game. That's why there's no Gentiles in media. It's got to be Darren Beatty and Jonathan Kieperman and Costin Alamariu and Barry Weiss and Ben Shapiro, right? Am I wrong? It's got to be Jake Tapper, a Jew, Wolf Blitzer, a Jew, Mark Levin, a Jew, Tony Dolkapil, a Jew. Barry Weiss, a Jew. That is who can control reality. Those are the masters of reality. And they'll let a Gentile be a spokesman, but he's got to bend the knee to them first. Otherwise, they're a vile anti-Semite, they're an Islamo-Nazi, they're a Islamo-Communist, whatever. It's what it is. We're in a war with them for control of reality. But anyway.
In war with them over the control of reality. The good news is, you know, a lot of people who listen to us do not get their reality drip-fed to them by hostile foreigners. That's the good news. And of course, I would say that it does run the gauntlet. Really, you know, it's about being generally bad for the cohesiveness of the American society, bad for just America in general, because I would say Vice News is one of these organizations, right? Failed repeatedly got injections of $400 million. I mean, it's sort of ubiquitous, actually. It's actually the story of pretty much every single left-wing outlet ever. They get funded by billions of dollars, they get access and priority, and their channels go up on all the, you know, devices, and they're force-fed constantly, and yet they still fail. And it really is like, you have to understand, this is a constantly churning engine that this is occurring just all the time, everywhere, like, constantly. There was even a thing today, I didn't even print this out, but apparently, well, I don't want to spread rumors, but apparently Laura Loomer is, I don't know, no longer like Rumble sponsored or something. People were pointing out that she's no longer on the front page of Rumble, and so only has like 300 live viewers. And so, like, you know, it's Laura Loomer versus Alex Jones. It's 9 million unique website visits in 72 hours or whatever versus 300 people on a live stream, right? It's Tucker Carlson just absolutely shattering every record of popularity ever set versus Mark Levin, who gets shoved down our throat and nobody can stand. It really is sort of constant and ubiquitous once you notice it. And of course, it's not just the pressure that's being applied and the, you know, insinuations that are being made. I mean, I think we showed the video on Friday. Didn't I play it? Of Ben Shapiro talking about how he, you know, got in touch with his friends at X behind the scenes to, you know, let them know that some of these people getting virality maybe shouldn't. And you might want to crush their reach for me. Thanks, pal. And so, like, you've got these, like, behind the scenes, quiet kind of handshake agreements that occur where you just are subtly silencing people, because as we explained when they did it, like, they thought they would try all out complete total eradication censorship, and they started with us in 2018. And thankfully, because of your support at thealexjonesstore.com, because you didn't let them take us down, they failed in 2018 to deplatform and therefore eliminate and destroy us. We were the test case, but they did it to a ton of other people. But it was too obvious, it was too in your face. It caused the Streisand effect. It got us more popular at the end of the day. So they've reorganized. So they've re-strategized. And now they understand we can't just eliminate people outright. It makes everybody go look for them. So we'll let them have their account. We'll let them think they're talking to everybody. We'll just turn down their reach by 25% and then another 10% and then another 10%. So it's actually psyoping everybody. It's psyoping the crowd and the audience, because they're not even seeing your information. They're being gatekept from it, so you don't even know what your favorite quote-unquote influencer is saying. But it also affects the creative, the creator, the influencer, for lack of a better term, because you're putting things out and they're not popular and you're thinking, wow, okay, I must have fallen off. I must be wrong about this. No, you're just not getting the reach that you normally would, and that's because of algorithm manipulation. But of course it goes farther than that. Of course it goes deeper than that. Not only do you have big tech companies collaborating with the ADL, collaborating with the likes of Ben Shapiro, doing their bidding and silencing their enemies, but the government is writing laws to facilitate them doing this. And of course, I've always held that this was the real purpose of trying to buy InfoWars with a outside company. And so, like, once again, I mean, years ago. We talked about this, you know, when they first started going after us, going, oh, we get it. We get what they're going to do. They want our copyright so they can issue copyright takedown notices and remove all our information from the internet. That's why they want it. Alex tweeted this out today. Wild, the Democrat Party-backed Onion's attempt to take over InfoWars has failed for now, and yet they're openly pledging to stop anyone from being able to view any of our incredibly accurate, game-changing information in the future. It's extremely unfortunate for them. For 25 years, I've been on the record, both on air and in public contracts, posted to InfoWars stating that all of my information is copyright-free and represents a gift to humanity for anyone and everyone to use in any way they see fit. It's called checkmate censors. So look, the AlexJonesStore.com, the InfoWarsStore.com before that, but now the AlexJonesStore.com represent the checkmate against deplatforming because they don't control our money flow. They can't silence us by telling everybody this is absolutely free. Download it yourself, upload it yourself, copyright free. That's a checkmate against any future attempt to issue takedown orders. Now, the problem is, look at the way the Onion is acting right now. You have this article from the Rolling Stones, actually the tweet from Rolling Stone magazine. The tweet from Rolling Stone magazine was even more sort of blatant, but I guess they changed the headline for the actual article. But the original one was like, despite, you know, being rejected in the court, the Onion is still saying they own InfoWars. And it's just like, hey, that's just brazen. They're just brazen. Like, they're literally writing headlines. It's like, even though they didn't legally take it over, they are saying that they did, right? See Tim Heidecker's debut as host of the Onion's InfoWars, Drink the Blood of the Forsaken. Despite Alex Jones's emergency motion, satirical site turns over control of InfoWars to comedian and new creative director. So the satirical site they're talking about is The Onion. So they're saying The Onion turned over control of InfoWars that they don't own because of the emergency motion. So they're literally just announcing, like, yeah, despite it not being legal, we're saying that we... So it's just like, this is just the brazen lawlessness with which our enemies can attack us. So, okay. I guess that's just how it is. But legally, they should be prevented from doing it. However, if the person at YouTube is on their side, if the person at YouTube is just looking for an excuse, like I always use the metaphor, the imagery of, like, you know, the gas station attendant that wants you to sell beer, knows you're underage, and it's just like, just show me an ID. I just got to check the box. I just got to be able to say, hey, I checked it. I checked the ID. It's his fault. It was fake. But he knows. But everybody knows. So what happens if somebody at YouTube or wherever, Rumble or anywhere, is against Alex Jones and is just waiting for that excuse of, oh, well, we got a copyright notice here, so we'll comply with it out of abundance of caution, even though they know it's fake and totally unlawful. Apparently, the law doesn't really matter so much to people when it comes to doing things against InfoWars. So that's what I'm worried about, is that, hell, they may even be doing it now. I mean, we see how brazen they are. They may be issuing takedown orders. Actually, we own InfoWars. So you can see by all of these mainstream media reports saying that we own it, even though it was us saying that and it was a lie. Okay, great. So we don't know what they're going to do with it next. I know Alex talked about some of the things filed. I got no new information on that. But it's not over. Obviously, the fight goes on. Obviously, they weren't going to, you know, just say, good game, fellas. We'll get you next time. We're still going to be under attack. We are still going to be hunted to the ends of the earth because we are still doing the thing that they want us not to do, which is tell you the truth and lay out the real plans for the future of the world, who's doing them and why. This is the reason InfoWars was taken down. This is the reason the Alex Jones Network is all that important. This is why we encourage, beseech, implore, and beg you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, because it takes a lot of money to fight these people. And you saw how, you know, the Onion owner, whoever, you know, functionary, whoever this guy is like mad that we have money to pay for lawyers. He's like, this is totally unfair. Why should they get to file things against my filing? He's like, where's is all this dark money coming from? It ain't dark money. It's green money. And it comes from thealexjonesstore.com because we sell fantastic products that our customers love to buy and change their lives in a myriad of ways. So join us, won't you? Go to thealexjonesstore.com and do the thing that they really, really, really don't want you to do. Support alexjoneslive.com.
Drag-